Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. And we've got Larry on its mountaintop. We got quite a lot of stuff going on around the world, wars, rumors of wars. Major earthquake, as you probably already know, struck Alaska. Evidently, I would say severe damage. Hi, Larry. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, are you there?
Hello? Can you
hear
me, Stuart?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Had some more of those booms and lost my signal for a minute.
There's something going on all over the world here. It's very, very strange. But what's the latest on this? I want to get into this quake in Alaska because I'm very suspicious that it's tied directly to that very strange signal that went around the world, and particularly the number on that signal. So what's the latest that you have?
Well, the latest we've got is it started out, they say, as a 6.6, but they upgraded it to a 7, and apparently it caused major infrastructure damage in and around Anchorage, Alaska. It hit struck southern Alaska. They had a tsunami warning for a short time, and then following that, they had a 6 magnitude quake, which is a strong quake, and they're still having lots and lots of aftershocks. Appears there's a lot of movement, you know, in Alaska and under Alaska.
How many aftershocks has they had so far? The last report I had was like 10 or so. Has it probably climbed much more than that?
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, probably 20 or 30.
Wow. I know they could be very worried that you can have an aftershock that's actually bigger than the original quake, but I'm not sure you should call that sort of thing an aftershock, but maybe another quake back-to-back. And then we had another or a 7.0 in Africa, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what they're saying. I can't really find that much data on it. And what's interesting, USGS doesn't even appear to be following the last of quakes. Most of my data I'm having to get off of the European side.
Well, they're covering stuff up. They don't want people to realize, how do I word this? If they reported everything that was going on in the Earth changes field, I think people would begin to panic because they'd begin to realize that things are not right and that the events are getting closer and closer and they're getting larger and larger with each series of events. I'm expecting another major quake here off this one. What do you think?
Well, it's possible. Just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah. Okay, here's the headline. Large earthquake aftershock strikes south central Alaska. Damage has been reported all over the region. So it's not just in the Anchorage area. And they said it was a preliminary magnitude of 7.0. I guess they dropped it to a 6.6, but then they have re-raised it up. And they said the epicenter was just north of Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson. Is that an Air Force base up there? I know Elmendorf is a military air base.
Yeah, I think it's some of that SAC, I think, there used to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's where they fly the fighter jets out of that intercept the Russians a lot of times.
So I wonder if they got a lot of damage on their airport. It'd be interesting to find out if the epicenter was there. It says the city of Anchorage has now declared a civil disaster declaration to access state resources. Mayor Ethan Berkowitz told reporters Friday he urged residents to remain calm in the aftermath of the quake, which, are, as you already said, they're having a number of major aftershocks. And then they had another series of aftershocks just after 11 a.m. this morning, up to a 5. The tsunami warning, I guess that has been canceled. I heard different reports, though, whether it was canceled or not.
That's kind of the data you get now. You get various reports from different sources, and you're lucky anymore to get any sources at all.
Well, I do remember that when Stan Dale was tracking earthquakes and using Navy data he was using, they shut down his ability to even get to it because they didn't want him evidently fooling around with their data and predicting earthquakes, which he was very accurate at, and of course they don't like that. It says here there were several reports of very serious damage. The Glen Highway was closed north of Eagle River because of damage, an on-ramp at the interchange of International Airport Road and Minnesota Boulevard collapsed. State transportation officials were fielding reports of damage on all high-priority roads, including three major locations. Can they get in and out of there yet, I wonder, or is helicopter the only way in and out now?
Well, the latest that I have heard, and I was listening to some on the ground reports coming out of Alaska on Fox, they were reporting that a lot of the ground up in that region liquefied. In other words, there's so much moisture in the ground that a lot of it just sunk. Some roads sunk 5 feet or more, broke up. They've had rock slides. They've had to stop all bus service across Alaska. All train service is suspended across Alaska. Shut down the mines. They had to shut down the oil pipeline. Apparently, this is a big deal up there. And the thing is, Stuart, now here's the thing. Winter just struck Alaska, basically, and the ground won't thaw again enough for them to build even or repair even a bridge until months away.
Yeah, when I was an aviator, I was flying a jet. We lost an engine going up to Anchorage, and it was about halfway, but we decided to continue on with just one engine. We landed at Anchorage, and that was not too long after the quake had occurred, and it was a mess up there in Anchorage. They still hadn't repaired a lot of the stuff, and we ran into a helicopter pilot who lost his wife, who worked at the hospital, and she was killed, I guess, in the quake aftermath. But he said that when they were out, and I'm not sure what they were doing out there, but he said that you could see the ground like to see waves going up and down, just like a sea wave. And when they began to see that, they began to realize what had happened. And, yeah, it did. That was a 9.0 or 9-point-something. And to hit Anchorage again, that's not good news. It says here that planes that were headed to Anchorage were rerouted to Kodiak, Fairbanks, Kenai, I guess. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. And some aircraft were still departing from Anchorage at the time of the quake. I guess they got off the ground, though. So, I don't know. Not good. And I'm curious, do you think that this quake is related? Of course, we have an antipodal down in Africa, if we can vet it. Now, Hal Turner claims it's real. He's got the maps up and everything of a major quake in South Africa or Africa. I guess it's kind of mid-continent. Have you been able to see any more about that at all? Says, let me see if I can find out. Let me see. I'm scrolling down here. A lot of information on the Alaskan quake and some of the aftershocks.
Yeah.
5.7, 4.0, 4.3, 4.5, 3.5, 3.5, 3.4, 3.6, and a 5.1, and of course a lot of littler shakings as well. But now here's the other one. Africa hit with magnitude 7.0 earthquake. And he's got the, I wonder where he's getting this information from, but he's got the map up as to exactly where it hit. He says for the second time today. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. He said he got that information from Global, Global something or other. If you go on his site and go click on that article, he's got a location, he says, here. And it's that Global Incident Report. You know, earthquake report.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't have it right in front of me, but that's what they say. That's where it's located. You could go there, maybe.
They have had some false alarms on that global incident site. But anyway, let's assume it is real, and let's assume it gets vetted. It says hit for another 7.0. Now, some of the remarks he makes here are kind of interesting. Earlier today, a severe magnitude 7.0 struck just outside of Anchorage, causing severe infrastructure damage. To have another quake of the same magnitude strike almost precisely at the antipodal is worrying, extremely worrying. He says this means that none of the energy from the first quake dissipated. And when that energy got to the opposite place on the Earth from the first quake, the antipodal, it hit with the same strength as the first quake. The second quake did not hit exactly at the antipodal of the first. This quake, second quake, hit further north. But he's getting at that there's something, nothing dissipated as far as the energy goes. He says, what is worth noting is that all the energy from the second quake is now bouncing back towards the other side of the Earth. So he's wondering whether we would have a, he says that would strike around the eastern coast of Australia near Vanuatu. So who knows? Maybe this is just a preliminary, but to something much more severe. Have you heard any more about what's going on up around Portland or Oregon and points north like Washington? Anything going on that way that you've heard of?
No, as a matter of fact, pretty much all across the country, it's been very, very quiet. And, you know, we had talked about that just before this 7. But if you'll remember, there was a series of days earthquake swarms that struck under northern Alaska, remember? And that was a week or two ago.
Yeah, and I'm wondering about this 11-11 bell, earth bell ringing, something they don't even know what it is. Here's a headline. Seismic sensors recorded that the Earth just rang like a bell on November 11th, but nobody knows why it happened. Even Stan Dale's got this thing up. The Lord uses earthquakes. This is mine. The Lord uses earthquakes as warnings and as judgments. The quake of the 1989 in Candlestick Park, October 17th, was both a number of judgment. If you will recall, it struck and took out much of the porn industry at that point in time. Divine completeness, of course. But anyway, no one paid any attention to it, basically. 29 years later, which is 11, on 11-11-11, because 2018 adds up to 11, we have a series of worldwide quakes that began on, I think it was on the 22nd through like the 27th, but they were not big quakes, but they were all at the 6.2 miles or 10 kilometers. Now, you remember you and I were reporting on these quakes, and we were wondering, what in the world is going on? Because they were all at that 6.2 mile depth, if I recall. Is that right?
Yeah, that, and as a matter of fact, Stuart, there's still a lot of them been doing that, because what you find when you look at these earthquakes worldwide, a lot of them are exactly 10 kilometers deep. Now, 10 kilometers is basically 6.2 miles.
So if you have all of these quakes that were occurring, and I remember it was worldwide, and almost every quake was at that depth, 6.2 miles deep, 10 kilometers. So here's my question. Is it possible, because this 11-11-11 bell-ringing series, which they have no idea what it was, they're starting to come up with some concepts like magma or movement or something of that nature. But with that there, and the pulse, this is the interesting part, because of the number. The pulse was 17 seconds between each pulse, and it went on for about 20 minutes. Very, very unusual. 17 is a huge number in the scriptures. So a pulse every 17 seconds is kind of interesting to me because of what Isaiah has to say about a pole shift. And what I'm wondering, and I don't know, I'd like your opinion on it, is it possible that over a series of years, one by one, the crustal area is detaching itself from the inner area in anticipation of a crustal shift? What do you think?
Well, that's certainly possible. And as a matter of fact, you reported last night, I think, for a moment, you talked about this strange energy or waves that went through the planet, and they were detected, but nobody knew where they came from.
Yes. I'm beginning to wonder if we are not in a precursor area of a cosmic energy waves that are coming through, or possibly even a gravitational wave. If they know one is coming, and we know from some of the comments made can't remember what their name is, but they interviewed Dr. Paul LaViolette. I got the name of it right on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember it. But anyway, that's old age creeping in. when they said in that, they were interviewing him, and he was talking about this cosmic and gravitational waves that are emanating out of the center of the Milky Way. And they said they had inside information from some insider, I'm sure you remember this, that it would reach maybe 2017, 2018, 2019, they weren't sure. But that through the TR-3Bs and their high-speed technology, they had actually gone towards the center and observed this wave coming through. You can't see the wave, but you can see the results of the wave. And that's what they were talking about. Could we possibly be? And if you read Dr. Paul LaViolette's Earth Under Fire, which I highly recommend to people who are really serious students of the Bible, to read that. What he does, he goes into the ancient folklore, and he proves beyond, I believe, any shadow of a doubt that the ancient so-called fairy tales, folklore, old wives' tales, whatever you want to call them, were actually warnings from the ancients of what was going to come. And he laid it out very scientifically as to what was coming. And it was a startling to me that we run into that mystic. You remember that mystic over there, and I can't think, I think it was from Bulgaria, if I remember right, and his cosmic wave. He said there was a cosmic fire wave coming through. And when it hit the earth, people would vanish. And then the people that were left behind would enter into the, what he called the ascension. The Book of Enoch calls it a fake. That's where the people that are left behind fall into this strong, strong delusion. And they go through what they call the next quantum leap up the evolutionary ladder and merge with the gods, who, according to New Age and all that stuff, seeded us here. And, of course, they're going to come back. The Bible calls them fallen angels. The Bible also calls it a huge delusion, a strong delusion. If you look up the word strong, it means very effectual. In other words, it's going to do exactly what God wanted it to do, which was to damn all those who had rejected Jesus Christ. And a very, very deadly type of thing. But I was wondering if it could be all tied together now, that we had a wave that triggered something over there in that Merapi or wherever they call it, and it was at the 6.2-mile deep depth. Of course, some are saying, well, it could be a volcano that's forming, and it was a magma movement. I guess nobody will ever know. What do you think?
Well, you know, I remember the ones, we've had some big ones off in the, around Indonesia, too, that, remember, they didn't quite antipodal perfectly, but remember those popped up around Costa Rica and that region, and they were bigger than the original quake.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an article here. It's kind of interesting. We also know, though, that Isaiah says a pole shift will occur. But he doesn't say if it's the entire planet that turns over or if it's a crustal shift. So
yeah,
if it is a crustal shift, it has to detach itself somehow, right?
Well, I would think so. And I kind of laughed and snickered when you said, that you know, talked about the Bible talking about it, because a white buffalo told me the same thing.
Yeah, you want to give that vision again to people, because that involved even Red Elk, and unfortunately a lot of people poo-poo Red Elk. The guy was a graduate from seminary, Christian seminary. He's a very, very intelligent guy. He just didn't believe what he called it, basically hocus pocus, what they were teaching, and I 100% agree with what they're teaching in these, I call them cemeteries, not seminaries. But anyway, could you enlighten us a little bit? Because that goes right into maybe what's happening right now.
Well, that was very interesting. It happened a number of years ago when I was living outside Hugo, Oklahoma. And I was walking in a pasture, and suddenly I saw a white buffalo standing there. And, of course, that's not something you see every day, I can assure you, especially in a cow pasture. But I stopped, and I looked at it. It was looking at me. It was just looking straight at me. And, I was trying to think, well, what's the message? I mean, you know, I've had messages from, I've had owls and other things. You know, sometimes there's a impartation of a message that you can get, you know, and
yes.
Nothing happened. And I asked it, I says, do you have something for me? And suddenly I saw the earth like you would see it normally, and I saw it turn to the right just a little ways, and I was shown that there was going to come a partial pole shift in the future at some time, and that would literally be a warning, an absolute warning of a greater pole shift to come later. So that's the best I can tell people. I know a lot of people don't believe that at all, and that's perfectly fine with me.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't believe anything. That's why they're in a lot of trouble with the Lord, because they really don't believe even the Lord. I got to have proof. I want to see the ark, Noah's ark, or I'm not going to believe it. Well, if you got to see Noah's ark in order to believe it, you might as well throw the Bible out and go do your thing. Because the Bible's not going to do you one bit of good. Jesus told you to search him out. And if you would, you'd find him and he'd show you personally that this is all true. So I don't know what more he can tell people. You know, I mean, people just close their minds to all this stuff. But getting back to this thing here and the event that seismologists recorded on 11/11/2018 was unusual in many ways. To begin with, two or three main waveforms that always accompany earthquakes were noticeably absent. Second, the event also lacked the short, sharp cracks that are common in most all earthquakes. But the thing that is puzzling scientists the most is that instead of a low rumble you get with earthquakes, the event produced an even, low-frequency, musical sound, like someone had just rang a bell. Then he quotes from the scripture, "And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again." That's in 1 Samuel 4:5. A quick Google search for what is 11/11 returned some very interesting results. Everything from the universe is sending us a message, which is what I believe it actually is, to...
Let me interrupt you there a second.
Yes.
Before you go into 11/11, what you just said was very striking, because you talked about there was a musical sound, or there was a sound that caused something that they really couldn't figure out what happened. Stuart, what clicked on in my mind when you immediately said that was, remember, that a lot of times sound is a result of a dimensional crossing, or a portal trying to open.
Yes.
Or open. And something else that I thought of is that to go along with that, you remember the movie Prometheus when creatures, they took a flute-like device and made certain sounds that turned on a lot of stuff. Remember?
Yes.
And then if you also look at the fact that, remember, I followed a bunch of people that used to go into Peru and the areas there where the dimensional portals were, and you literally turned those on with a tone. You could turn them on, and also in Quayle and Tom Harm's information in their latest book, it says that Native American elders had shared with them some locations where portals were known and said they were turned on with a frequency tone. What do you think?
I would agree with that 100%, because what does the Bible say? In the beginning was the Word. That's vibrational. When you speak, it's vibrational. And I'm a firm believer that Jesus had the power, and I think fallen angels do too, to change their frequency somehow. You remember that Jesus was mocking Thomas, "Come touch me, look at my wounds, they're real." And then he walks through a solid wall. Well, the only way you can do that is actually changing your frequency. And we do know that there was a German scientist, I can't think of his name, Schwarzberger or something like that, who basically proved that the whole universe is nothing but frequency or sound. In the beginning was the Word. So, it's vibrational. And, of course, if you go into the spectrums, electromagnetic spectrums, what is it? It's all just vibrational frequencies. And the human mind and the human eye are tuned to certain frequencies of light. animals are go slightly higher, below or higher. And if we could see the whole spectrum, we'd probably see all the dimensions. We're just locked off from it. I've long thought that the universe that we have here, we're just part of a multiverse, and that our universe is kind of sandwiched by electromagnetic spectrum. And when you punch a hole, like CERN is attempting to do, they're attempting to get outside of time and space and get into eternity where they can do their mischief. So they're never going to find God that way, but they're going to try. You know, they talk about the God particle and all that, but all they can unravel is how the Lord constructed our universe. They cannot unravel him. And Jesus only gave us the one way to get in to see all this. So they're ignoring all that. But, yeah, it's fascinating.
And what was so interesting, Stuart, was I called you later this evening after this 7.0 magnitude quake, and I told you that I was trying to actually get on and post the earthquake. And interestingly, I heard a kind of a cracking boom sound in the atmosphere, and suddenly I lost all of my internet satellite and all of my television satellite and my cell phone. And that was a heck of a deal because the internet satellite is a narrow band, and television satellite is a wide band. It has some latitude,
mm-hmm.
and for something to take out all those frequencies, and even between the cell towers, something is going on, and that was electrogravitic. It seemed like that happened.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. And I can't think of his name. Park. You could have heard an earthquake boom. But it may have been something totally different. Yeah, it could have been totally different than that. But it seems kind of odd. And all the 6.2 miles is popping up once again. And it's popping up where this thing, whatever it is, this vibrational wave that went through. And by the way, people have been seeing vibrational waves coming through our planet. Now, that's been going on for about a year. And they are actually being photographed by different satellite systems. And a lot of these guys, they analyze these things, you know, not the scientists, but the guys that are really into this sort of thing. And they have presented this stuff. And here it is. Something is going on. Now, whether this is the precursors of a huge cosmic wave that's coming through that Dr. Paul LaViolette said was absolutely going to come through, and every time it does, it changes the DNA, and it changes the structure of our DNA, and that would account for why this prophet said that when this wave comes through, certain people will vanish. That's the rapture. That's the taking of the church. But they're looking at it as the taking of the evil people, which is all New Age, the rapture of the wicked ones. And then the ones that are left behind on earth are ascended to a much higher level. So this is going to get very, very interesting. Here's a verse of scripture which may have something to do with this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans 8:22-23. At some point, the man says in this article, in the not-too-distant future, we will stand on the precipice of the moment when the natural and the supernatural will once again intersect. If we don't understand a gravitational wave or a cosmic wave, as Paul LaViolette tends to indicate, we only know in part, what's to say that prophet isn't right? that there will be a vanishing of souls. As this wave comes through, it, you know, the Bible talks about the rapture as being in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. You're in less than 1 second, you're not. So,
yeah.
Very, very interesting stuff when you talk about the place ringing like a bell. And here's another one from Luke. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should not hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And we've been hearing these sounds, what is it now, 2-3 years all over the earth? Some say it sounds like a trumpet. I'm not sure what you describe it as. What do you think?
Well, that's true, and Standeo seems to indicate, he seems to indicate that some of this may be deep magma movement or movement with the core or deep under the earth, and he says the reason you hear the sounds and it appears like they're coming from the atmosphere because they're actually coming from below the earth, but the atmosphere is vibrating them back down to the planet, and so people think, well, I heard that up in the sky, but all along, what you're hearing was coming from below. What do you think?
Yep, and that's the stones crying out, and I think they've been crying out for a little while now. It goes along with Isaiah and the crustal shift. He talks about how the world tumbles over and basically destroys. I did a video on it, I think. Yeah, two of them on Earth Changes. And in there, we talked about the polar shift. When I was on Art Bell, that was one of the things he really wanted to talk about, was a pole shift and what the damage it would do to the planet. And, of course, it would depend on where you were on the planet at the time of the shift and where the pivot point was. If you were at the pivot point, you probably wouldn't notice anything. But if you were on the opposite side of a pivot point, you'd be dead with a shift like that. So, yeah, that was kind of an interesting conversation I had with him. And, of course, you remember the Hopis that he interviewed.
I remember that. I was really taken with your interview with Art Bell because, and actually you've posted that a few times since then, that you've still got it. What was so interesting to me, Stuart, was the fact that sometime right after he really delved into what would occur during a pole shift and got your opinions on the air, he came out, him and Whitley Strieber came out with a book, and I don't remember the title exactly, but they made the movie Day After Tomorrow from it about a atmospheric pole shift.
Yeah, and, you know, things are already changing. In fact, I was just reading an article where, once again, they're saying that the ocean currents are all but stalling. They're really, really slowing up. And that's one reason why England, I think, is going to be hit, and Europe as well. And our East Coast will be hit with bad winters because of it. And folks, get ready. I mean, everything is changing. You don't know it unless you go on the web and you go around the world and look at the weather, the earthquakes, the volcanics activity, and all of this. And I'll tell you what, when you do that, nobody can say things are normal because they are sure not normal at all. And I just have this weird feeling that this thing that occurred on 11-11-11 is a warning from the Lord to look out, that things are coming, and they're going to come very, very rapidly, one after another, once this thing starts. And I'd sure keep an eye out now for the next 3-4 days for a major quake somewhere else. Hopefully not California, Oregon, Washington area. They have a tendency to string out, you know, like that. So getting over to politics, which is basically what all this is, Saudi military redeployed to the capital to deter a coup of the king and the crown prince. What is that about?
Well, that's really interesting. Actually, Hal Turner came out with that first, and then we found some other sources were indicating that. And basically, that article read, the Saudi Arabian military redeployed to the capital Riyadh to declare a coup against King Salman and Crown Prince MBS. We know that's Mohammed bin Salman. Said reports of members of the royal family planning a coup to unseat Salman. The Crown Prince was away from the country today at the G20 meeting in Argentina. And I'll tell you what came up interesting. That Argentina meeting was the fact that Merkel had to fly away back to Germany quickly during that meeting, claiming that her plane was having problems and she had to get back to Germany. And then we saw some information in the background that said that the Saudis, Saudi leadership that were attempting the coup in Saudi Arabia were operating out of Germany.
Well, in the first place, as a pilot, as an aviator for years and years, if your aircraft is having troubles, you certainly don't fly the Chancellor of Germany in it. So we can discount her her excuses immediately. So it must have something to do with this unseating, if it's being orchestrated out of Germany. And it was very, very interesting that when they took a picture, they kind of sidelined the prince. Now, Putin and MS, what do they call him, MBS, they were buddies, almost a kissing fest. I couldn't quite figure out what that was really about, because unless they've got something going on behind the scenes that nobody knows, such as Saudi Arabia may be going to go in with Putin when they come against Israel. And then this is all big setup. I've often wondered why Bibi would even consider that Putin would be a friend of Israel. I mean, Israel is sitting on tremendous energy wealth. And all of this basically that's going on over there are energy wars. It's pipeline wars and stuff like that. So what do you make of that? What's your take on it?
Well, you know, I was also watching the G20 meeting this morning, and the, of course, mainstream media and the deep state, you know, they're keeping Trump away from Putin the best they can, and working to start their little war. And so Trump was kind of sidelined. But however, I watched closely as Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince, went down and was seated there, and then suddenly Putin arrived and came over and grabbed him kind of around the waist a little bit and from behind him, and it almost like Putin was telling him, I've got your back. That seemed to be a message to me, and then it wound up, Putin literally sat beside him during the meeting like he was supporting or protecting the prince. There's something up going on there. I mean, really, there is. Now, what has come to light in the last few days is that Israel has made a new kind of, I guess you could say, an energy deal. Israel itself now is wanting to work with some of the Arab states to put a line of energy to fuel Europe. And
yes,
this also goes against the Russians. You know, the Russians also are fighting the U.S. over a pipeline through that region to reach Europe also. So you're right, energy wars.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, where some of these major battles in Syria were key areas where the pipeline would be going through. So I don't know. I mean, the world runs on energy, and because it does, energy is money, money is power, and so, yeah, I think you can safely conclude that almost all of this is basically monetary. The United States is losing its dollar, as the central currency for oil transactions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the nations of the world are beginning to ignore the dollar. They're trading in their own currencies or gold, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we're going to see some major, major wars develop. And, of course, that's why Trump told Merkel and some of the others, I think, that why are you buying your oil from Russia? You know, we'll tanker it over to you. If you need oil, buy it from us. And, of course, they poo-pooed that. So this is going to get really, really interesting, I think, as we move into this final timeline. So this coup is over, you know, happening over, or maybe happening, we don't know, over in Saudi Arabia. There have been rumbles for a couple of years that they wanted to unseat the king and the prince. Do you suppose that they could actually do that? And what would that do to the kingdom? And would that not weaken them to a point where Iran might say, aha, let's go get them?
Yeah, that's very possible because of the fact that, you know, there's a deal has also been kind of toyed with between, you know, MBS and Trump. Because Saudi Arabia wants the U.S. to supply a nuclear reactor and materials, you know, inside Saudi Arabia, and they want nukes also, counter the Iranians. So there's a whole lot on the chessboard.
Yeah, and Saudi Arabia has some very strange area type 51 bases where nobody goes, and they have a connection to the fallen angels, which I'm sure Trump is aware of. And if you go back into the history of Trump, you'll find out that he has ties or had ties or something with Tesla. And Trump is really a very brilliant individual. And he may know a whole lot more about the fallen angels and what do we say, alternative energy, et cetera, than anybody knows. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, however, that Putin and this guy are buddy-buddies, and it makes me wonder if we are not close to the Ezekiel 38, 39, Daniel 8, Daniel 11, and Isaiah chapter 17 all exploding almost at the same time.
Yeah,
so,
it's kind of interesting. And it's kind of interesting also, Stuart, is the fact that, you know, recently I told you I'd had another dream. Of course, I'm never asking anybody to believe my dreams, but I rarely dream about MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince. But I had a dream about him the other night, and in that dream, I was in a room where he was at, and it appeared to be in Saudi Arabia, and in walked, of all people, Stuart, the entity I call Mona Lisa, the Mona Lisa from the craft on the moon.
Yes.
You know, that's second time I've dreamed about that entity. And so there was a connection between Mona Lisa and MBS, and also somehow whatever's buried underneath Saudi sand, which Standeo says is a very ancient fallen angel site.
Yeah. In fact, he had pictures of one of their so-called Area 51s before they kind of took those down, I guess.
Well, I've got one. I'll send you a copy of it if you want it.
Yes, I'd love to have that. Another headline here. Let me see if I can find it. North Korea, folks, this is starting to get serious now. North Korea reveals nuclear EMP attack plans. The article's dated the 24th of November. In a sign that North Korea is not planning to give up all of its nuclear arsenal, the communist government has revealed plans to use the weapons to launch EMP attacks that effectively would dismantle technology and computers in the blast area. A report on the new document distributed by the government shows the acronym for electromagnetic pulse, or EMP, and it was clearly printed, in July. The Daily NK, which obtained the document, suggested that a target might be South Korea. EMP attacks lead to the destruction of electronic circuits, semiconductors, TVs, mobile phones, and computers in the area affected. The widespread failure of South Korea's mass communication systems due to an EMP attack and its effect on national infrastructure and military command systems would lead to widespread chaos, experts warn, and they are calling on the government to take measures to prepare for such attacks. That's kind of interesting in view of the scientists who are kind of curious about what those satellites of North Korea that travel from north, from south to north over the United States might be. Like an EMP device. What do you think? I mean, this is unusual. We get a report like this out of them, official, I guess.
Yeah, I've actually heard, Stuart, some generals, American generals, that are just wondering why the U.S. hasn't taken those satellites out, because they're absolutely a threat, but for some reason they're leaving them alone.
Well, I would have to say that's global deep state. If let's say North Korea attacks. It's really not North Korea that's attacking. It's global deep state that's attacking, using North Korea to do it. Same thing it would be with Russia or whatever. They have really a tight control. Now, granted, there are rogues in this whole thing. You got a rogue in Trump. You got a rogue in Bibi Netanyahu, you got a rogue in Putin. However, we do know what Bible prophecy says. And there are some recent prophecies that did say, and I think I read a couple of them, where they said North Korea would attack in a surprise attack and would knock out a couple of our cities. And we would not know from whence it came right away. It'd take 3 or 4 days before we figured out it was North Korea that did it. And, of course, you've got EMP weapons probably in China, I'm sure, Russia, and probably Iran, too. And North Korea, it says, has a track record of interfering with electronics in South Korea. The North has jammed GPS in South Korea several times. So, anyway, just a bit of news for you folks out there. Here's another headline: Israel attacks Syria again and fails. What's that one about? I know you were briefing me a little bit on it. What happened there?
It's kind of interesting. You know, there's kind of two sides on that. One is that, and the angle from that failure basically indicated that Israel attacked, within Syria with ground-based fired missiles. In other words, not warplanes, but missiles fired from the surface. And apparently trying to take out Iranian and, other locations in Syria, because at the moment they had been advised that the S-300 systems were down. And this missile attack, apparently some of them were, or a number of them were shot down. But what occurred was the fact that that apparently the only thing disabled on the S-300 missile systems in Syria was the targeting computer systems, and so that meant the S-300s could not fire missiles at incoming of anything. But what occurred was the Russians assisted the Syrians when this attack started, and they used the S-300's radar to tie into the S-200 Syrian aircraft missiles, and they fired missiles, and I suppose hit some of them, and so it wasn't a total loss. However, there's a new report came out, let's see if I can find it here real quick, today, and I don't even think I posted it yet. I've had a lot of problems today. But the information was that this was the largest Israeli surface missile attack on Syria ever. And so apparently, if that's true, then Israel has figured out a way to fire large surface missiles into Syria. But then again, you know, they can also fire them back. So, you know, we're on the verge of real trouble. Syria's wanting to attack, and plus everybody around her wants to attack her.
Well, yeah, and I was thinking about Putin. How long is he going to put up with this kind of stuff from Israel? I mean, he's in Syria to defend Syria. So
at the same time, Stuart, and I want your opinion on this too, by the way. Hal Turner actually posted this. It says Ukraine requests Turkey bar Russian military vessels from the Bosphorus Strait entering a time of war, and says his question was, does this bring the dire prophecy of Vilna Gaon, the Jewish sage, talking about, of course, the Russian attack? Because that's a two-part prophecy, Stuart. I think you mentioned it. You read
yes.
it because it talked about Russia taking Crimea and then
Which
later
they did.
Coming after Istanbul or Constantinople, Turkey.
Yes.
And so what do you think? That is a crisis point, too.
Well, Turkey has not been a friend of Russia, and they've been kind of at odds with one another for some time. Maybe that means Turkey actually will try to do this and block. And, of course, if they did that, that's an act of war as far as Russia is concerned. So they might just go in and take Turkey at the same time they take Ukraine, and who knows where they might stop. They might just go across Europe and figure out, well, now or never, let's settle the hash. And that could easily happen. And here's another headline, war being planned by U.S. for Ukraine, Russia. Job ads seek combat zone workers for classified operations with the U.S. military in Ukraine. So if Russia decides to do something, they've got these ads. He's actually got copies of them. I don't have the time to read them all, but this is kind of interesting. Why are we advertising for people who already have classified clearances to join our U.S. military over there if they're not going to go to war? So he says actual planning for an actual war with Russia inside Ukraine has been already in the works for weeks. What do you think?
Well, it makes perfect sense. We what's interesting is none of the, of course, mainstream media, USA, people that still listening to that crap, they're not getting any of the news. They're not getting anything. They're not even getting the truth. That's what's so shocking, and they still listen to it. But anybody that's been listening to, you know, especially outside the U.S., they already know that this Ukraine-Russia deal was pre-planned, and there was a lot more behind it than what they're telling.
Yeah. This is an attempt to provoke Putin, and he's the wrong man to provoke, actually. Here's another, I'll do quick headlines here. We only got a minute left. China warns trade war with U.S. could escalate into a Great Depression and World War. Well, that's what sanctions brought about World War II. Russia sends more S-400s to Crimea, Kerch area. Trouble is brewing. So, folks, it's not over yet. And then we got the Sanhedrin inviting 70 nations to the dedication of the altar for the third temple. We're there. We're getting there very, very rapidly. Hanukkah's coming up on, I think, December 2nd, or possibly it goes into January because it's a pregnant year. Nobody knows for sure. But Israel is celebrating Hanukkah starting on the 2nd. So anyway, thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Heads up. If you haven't prepared, you better, because we have no idea when this thing is going to go. Anyway, good night, everyone. Take care.